Alzheimer's is something that we've discussed on the program many times before. It's always associated with older people. But can you imagine getting diagnosed at the age of 38? This is what happened to Steve Borjak's wife, Michelle. After caring for his wife at home, Steve then had to make the difficult decision to put his wife into a care home at the age of just 44. He began by telling me about their early life together.
We had a really good life. Michelle, she worked as a secretary and she also did acting at the local theatre. She was a really, really excellent artist. I worked as a lorry driver at a fish factory, delivering fish, played rugby, played cricket. Michelle played cricket. Really, really active life we both led. Went on holidays, everything.
And when was the first time, Steve, you realised something might be wrong?
The first time was probably when Michelle was 37, 38 years old. Noticed just a couple of little things. She would forget things and just little things like this. And then she did have a test, actually, when she was 28 years old to say if she had the same gene, what killed her father when her father was 46. And she got a positive diagnosis that she had the same gene as her father and that she was 99% certain she would get Alzheimer's dementia before she was 50.
And she was 30 when she discovered this gene. She was what age?
She was 28 when she discovered that she had the same gene as what took her father.
And she thought she'd get Alzheimer's around about 50.
They said, yeah, the test and everything said that she had the same gene and it's a rare gene, but probably before she was 50, she would develop the signs of the Alzheimer's.
And how did she deal with that in her head?
It hit her quite hard, actually, but knowing that she had the same gene. And from that day, from sort of like 28 years old up until she got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she just changed. She sort of went into a shell. She did all the research, whatever she could, into the Alzheimer's. We was having trips to London 3 or 4 times a year to the neurology centre to be like a guinea pig to try everything and do everything. We still lived our life to the full as we could to try and cram everything in as what we could, just in case that day come, which obviously it did.
And it came a lot quicker than she thought.
It did. We finally got a diagnosis. We saw a lot of changes, 36, 37, 38 years old, and we finally got a diagnosis when she was 39. Just before her 39th birthday, they said that she's got dementia, which is very, very young. She's probably is the youngest in England at the moment to have got Alzheimer's at 39, but she's 43 now. Yeah, it was very heartbreaking news, really.
What happened? How did she react?
It is difficult because when she did finally get diagnosed with the Alzheimer's, she just totally changed. She started doing everything to put her life in order, really put her life in order. She researched and researched and researched. She did everything. Just wanted to get her life in order to make it easier for her and for me and my family. She sort of changed as a person, she really did, and then all the signs of the dementia started coming through, 39, 40, 41, 42, all different things.
And from that point at 38 years of age, Steve, of just forgetting certain things, did she deteriorate quickly?
She did. From 39 to 41, 42, she went through stages of disappearing from the house. One, she would get up in the morning and say, right, I'm taking the dog for a walk. But she would go for a walk, probably 3 or 4 miles, but the dog was still here, and she'd still think she took the dog for a walk. She would go off with no shoes on. Sometimes she would just storm off out of the house and go and sit in the theatre. Even if there was a play on, she would just walk straight in and sit down. And just things like that. Going to shopping, she would just get out of the car, leave the car doors open, just everything. She couldn't do anything. Then she got really violent for a few months. She was really violent towards me, and then she thought I was a different person. I couldn't get near her, couldn't do anything. And then all that went away, and then she just went where she is now.
Seeing her like that must have had a real emotional impact on you.
It was. It's been absolutely devastating. I packed in work 4.5 years ago now so I could look after her at home for as long as I possibly could. And I had to make a heart-rending decision last October that I just physically and mentally couldn't do it anymore.
What state was she in then? What type of? I'm just keen to understand the real impact of this disease of Alzheimer's.
Last June, I went on holiday for a week's respite with my son. I took my son, who's been helping me. We went to Cyprus for a week's respite, and I left her with her mother and that. And I came back, and just after a week, she was totally different. She was really violent.
Violent?
She was violent, really violent towards me all the time. I couldn't get near her. I couldn't help her. She couldn't feed herself, so I had to try and feed her, but she was violent all the time. And it got where she got over that stage after about 3 or 4 weeks. She got over the stage of being really violent, but then she started having seizures, and it was really, she couldn't walk, she can't talk, she couldn't feed herself, she was doubly incontinent, and I kept on going and going and going. It just got where, by October of last year, it got where I just really, really physically and mentally couldn't do it anymore, and I had to find somewhere for her to go, which was the most difficult thing I've ever had to do.
I've heard carers of people with other diseases in the past tell me that the exhaustion, the level of mental and physical exhaustion.
It was. I had a son living at home with me, and my other son lives with his partner, and they were saying to me, you really, really need to, you know, to get mum sorted and get her into a care home, because it's killing you. And I was not sleeping. I didn't sleep at night because I was frightened she was having a seizure or she would disappear, even if the doors were locked. There was one time before October that she'd actually lit a fire in our spare room. She lit a fire and the house caught fire because she just didn't know what she was doing, you know. And it just got where I didn't go to sleep, and I just spent all my time trying to look after her, and I just absolutely got drained. And
you've got this disorientating, from what I'm hearing from you, this disorientating reality then, that the lady you married and loved and still loved was looking the same, but was personality changed, acting differently?
Yeah, she's even now, after nearly 5 years, she still looks the same, but it's just, she's vacant. It's very, you know, I go there and she's very vacant. She could be cussed. But she does, even now, still understands when you talk to her. I've noticed these last few weeks, if I write something down, like sometimes I go in, I just write, I love you, on a bit of paper, and she smiles and she points to it, and she knows, but she just cannot. It's absolutely heart-wrenching to see it. I mean, I've been married for 27 years now to her, and we've never had a day apart bar that holiday I had last year, and it's just very, very difficult to see someone like that at such a young age, or at any age really, but especially at a real young age.
You were about to say when you wrote down that you loved her, she can't what?
She can't talk back, but she tries to say it that she can read, you see, but she can't speak, so she gets her finger underneath it, and every day I go in now, I get this bit of paper, it says I love you on it, and she points to it, and she smiles, and she gives me a kiss. And it brings me to tears to see her do that.
And you came to the point where you had to make that decision as to whether you would continue caring for her, whether you could physically and emotionally, or whether you had to put her into home.
I never asked for help from anybody for over 4 years, and it got to a stage where I had to get a social worker for Michelle and find somewhere for her. And that was really difficult, trying to find somewhere, because there was only two places in the whole of the county where we live that was willing to take anybody under 65 with dementia. And I think it's still like that now. I think there's still only probably two or three places at the most what's willing to take anybody, because it's such a rare thing for somebody that age to get it.
What was it like the day that she left your home?
I broke down in tears, I really did. And even now, it's been nearly a year, it's still very, very hard to come to terms with. And I've actually started going to a counsellor, because I really lost my wife 3 years ago as a wife, to be honest, as a person, because I don't know if she knows who I am or not. I'm sure deep down she does, and I'm always think I'm a big strong person, but I'm not. I need to sort of, I go to counselling now and then to try and help me.
Did you tell her the day she was leaving, where she was going?
I did. I said to her, I took her in the morning to this place to look round, and the staff were really good and they made her feel welcome, and I left her there that night, and I just come home and I cried and I didn't know what to do. And I thought, have I done the right thing? Have I done it? And my sons were telling me, you've done the right, you know, sisters and mother, everybody was telling me, you've done the right thing, you can't do it anymore. You really have done the right thing. But it's been a year and I still regret it. But I know she's in the best place and getting the best possible care that anybody can give her. And it just makes it good now because I found this diary of hers.
Now, this is an incredible twist.
Yeah.
In your journey with your wife. What diaries?
It is. I was cleaning out the airing cupboard up in the bedroom and I found a load of stuff, and there's a tin up there with letters, what I used to write Michelle, all the years we've been married, everything else. I used to write her letters and little notes and leave them about, and she'd kept them all. And on top of this tin, there was a normal notepad, but it said, I hope Steve finds this one day on it. And I opened it up and started reading it, and the things what she wanted me to do when she got Alzheimer's, and the things that she wanted me to do myself, and all the funeral arrangements, what she wanted, and everything else. It was just...
She'd written it all down, had she?
She'd written everything down before she got ill, what
My
she
goodness.
Wanted.
What did she say?
Pardon?
What did she say in the diaries?
Some of the extracts were how it began, how she missed her dad, and she never had a chance to tell him how much she loved him and everything else before he died of Alzheimer's and that. There was some extracts saying that she doesn't want to move from where she lives and she wants me to help her stay at home for as long as physically possible and mentally possible. And when the time comes to put her in a place with other people what are like her, so she can get the best possible care. But just all extracts like this. And then she did another page of all the things what she wanted to do, like the colour coding, so she like pink and red and yellow and blue for different things, red for dangerous things, blues for other things, and all around the house were stickers of this. And I didn't I didn't know she'd done this notebook until I found it, and I've virtually carried it out as in that notebook. What I've done for the last 4 years is virtually what she's wrote, and I didn't even know she'd wrote this, and I'm going to carry it out, everything she wants in it.
So therefore, no matter what the extent of the emotional pressure and physical pressure was on you, you should be very proud of yourself because you were carrying out her wishes as she had written them down, and you were carrying them out of your own volition, your own.
That's it. And it does, in a way, it does make me feel better. I've done everything what she wanted to do. And I am still, and now I've found this, it's going to help me a bit more to find out what she wants. The worst piece in the diary is when it gets to the back and it talks about what she wants at a funeral and everything, and how, you know, she went through all this on her own.
She sat and wrote it all down on her own.
Yeah, she never spoke to anybody about it, just did it all herself, and she must have been very, very strong, and she still is.
Well, she realised, it's a sign of how much she realised and understood the disease, that she realised that she had to capture her thoughts while she still had the ability to be articulate.
That's what she did. She's done it. I mean, I have found folder after folder after folder of research, what she's done and everything. She knew exactly what was going to happen to her at different times, different stages. She just knew it all. And she went through it all on her own because she wouldn't speak to me. And, you know, she spent a lot of time in the other room where the computer and everything was and doing all these things. And I just didn't realise what she was doing. I suppose I was probably being a bit big-headed, to be honest, because I tried blocking it out. But
it really makes me think about life, this. And she had this gene, which her father had. He died of Alzheimer's.
He died of Alzheimer's when he was 46.
She has Alzheimer's. She will die.
Yes.
With an Alzheimer's-related disease.
It's just a... It's a ticking time bomb. Nobody knows when it... You know, some days when she was at home here, she would go to bed happy. The next morning she'd get up, she'd be a different person again. One day she'd be happy, next day she'd be really violent. Doctors, nobody knows just how, when, how long, or anything. It's just a matter of... At the moment, I don't plan anything. I just go every day. I spend 10, 12 hours a day every day with her for how long it takes. I don't know.
And the other reality for your family that just strikes me, Steve, is that you've two sons.
Yeah,
Have they got the gene? The Alzheimer's gene?
I don't know. They can have the test, but my two sons there, because of seeing what's happened to the mother when she found out she had the gene, that they don't want to have the test. And I don't want to force them to have the test, because to be quite honest, I wouldn't want to know if either of them had it anyhow, to be honest.
How old are they?
26 and 24. We got married at 16. Michelle was 16, I was 18 when we got married. And we've just been together forever, really. I've never had another girlfriend, I think. Michelle's never had another boyfriend. We just got married. We thought we'd have two kids, have them young, get them grown up, and we could start living our life. But as soon as they grew up, we've been dealt this hand. So we've never really had to live our life. And we're still both young.
Steve, my heart goes out to you. What you do have is you have the love, that very, very strong bond between the two of you.
We do, yeah.
That you loved each other very, very... clearly loved each other.
We did, and we still do. And I started working for the Alzheimer's Society now, doing charity work, and I'm going to China in just over 3 weeks' time now to walk the Great Wall of China for charity, to raise as much money and awareness as I can.
Well, listen, it's a story that will put everything in perspective for the majority of us listening to you today. And thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.